Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watt, broadcasting live, high, on the We Believe America Tower in Midtown Atlanta, looking over majestic Buckhead, where today we have set records because it is so hot. It's still April, and it's almost 90 degrees. That does not bode well for a cool summer. All right, we've got a lot to do today. If some folks call in, good. If they don't, that's okay also, because there's some things that I want to talk about. When we have the most important election in our lifetime, in my estimation, coming up this November, will we return to the values of our forefathers, or will we continue with the values of the progressives towards a socialistic government? It's a pretty substantial cleavage in the American population. The people that want to return to traditional values have a difficult time seeing anything of value in President Obama or in what he's trying to do. The progressives, on the other hand, look at the conservatives and the people from the Tea Party and Republicans as obscurantic and unable to see the movement of society, which is toward the vision that they have for this nation. It's a substantial difference. Now, what exactly is going to happen? When we talk about an election, you tune into CNN, Fox, NBC, CBS, ABC, any of them, and they will give you, the polls today show that Barack Obama in a heads-up match with Mitt Romney, which is ahead 47-45, and this is within the margin of error, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And so people say, okay, my guy is either behind or a little ahead, and they make their judgments about what's happening in society based upon these kinds of ideas, none of which have anything to do with anything. Now, if you pay attention to what I'm telling you today, this will help you if you don't know it. Unfortunately, most Americans don't know these things. But if you learn it, all you have to do is learn it once, and it will help you understand everything from now on. There is not one election next November. There are 50 elections. One for California, one for Texas, one for Georgia, one for Mississippi, one for Michigan, one for Pennsylvania, and the winner of that state takes home the electoral votes. Now, what's required to win the presidency is 270 electoral votes. There are a total of 535, and they are spread out based upon population and upon state. Now, here's how it's figured. Each state has two senators. So the smallest state in population, like Rhode Island or Montana or Maryland, or maybe not Maryland, Delaware, some of those, North Dakota, South Dakota, each of them has two senators. California and Texas and Illinois and New York have two senators each. Each state has two senators. So there are 50 states that one electoral vote for each, so that's 100 of the total of 535 electoral votes. Now, the House of Representatives is based upon population, and the larger states have the greatest number of representatives, so they are the ones that end up having the greatest number of electoral votes. Consequently, California has about 43 electoral votes, Texas 29 or 34, Georgia has 16, Florida has 29, and the magic number to get there is 270, any way that you can put that together. So that means if you're Barack Obama, you're assured of California because it's going to vote Democratic no matter what, as is New York, as is Illinois, as is Connecticut, Massachusetts, the Upper East. And it's like that's a huge block of votes that are already there for the Democrat. On the same side, the Republican can count on the solid South. South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Arkansas, Tennessee, Oklahoma, and Texas. Texas is the second biggest state now. So these two blocks essentially put each other, one equals the other. It's like a teeter-totter almost in electoral vote. Now, that means that the key is winning the rest of the states and what they will have and what they're calling the key battleground state. As we talk about that, let me bring in our first guest. Hello, this is Jack Watts, and you are on. Hello there. Hello? Hello? Hello, I hear somebody on the other line. Who's calling?
Jack?
Yes.
Hey, this is Joni. Hi.
Hi, Joni. How are you today? This
Good.
Is Jack Watts Live, and you're on the air.
Well, in your talk today, I was just wondering if you would address, if states go bankrupt, should they lose their electoral status?
Well,
if California goes bankrupt, why should they get to have any electoral votes?
Well, now that's an interesting concept. It's not one I've ever heard before. A lot of states are technically bankrupt, as is the United States, because we are so in debt.
Yes, but don't you think the conservative states typically haven't gone bankrupt? It's the more liberal states.
Well, the states that are having the greatest trouble economically are California, Illinois, Michigan, New York. New Jersey's almost out of trouble because of Chris Christie. So I do think that there's something to that, and that is kind of an interesting concept, but it's not going to happen, and that's not possible for that to happen. Because what that would do is take away the liberties which are inalienable for the citizens of the state of California, that their state government has overcommitted in the same way that the Greeks and the Italians and the Irish and the Spaniards have in the European Economic Community, and they promise things they can't pay for if that's happened. And California is really in desperate trouble, as is Illinois and New York. There are several others.
Yeah, but it proves their politics don't work. I'm going to hang up and let you discuss it, okay?
All right. Thank you for your call.
Okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Well, that's a good question. But in my estimation, no. You can't take away the right of any citizen to vote just because the people that they have elected have made foolish policy. I understand that it's exasperating. Let me give you an example, and this one isn't American. The Greeks in their society have it to where they can retire at 50, and they withdraw benefits from then on. Well, these are promises that socialist governments have made over the years, and now there's a huge number of people that are actually retiring, and they can't afford to pay them. There's no way that this can happen, and they're having to be bailed out by other countries in the European community, and particularly the strongest economy, which is Germany. And the German people are absolutely livid, and they're saying, why should we work until we're 67 or 68 so that the Greeks can retire at 50? A good question. In the United States, we have states that have overcommitted, overpromised, and in my estimation, they should go bankrupt, but not Chapter 7, but Chapter 11, or if I've got these mixed up, what I mean is they need to restructure the thing so that they can take the contracts that they have with people that they've made commitments to that they cannot fulfill and remake them in such a way that they can fulfill them. All right, now, I want to get back to the other issues that I was talking about, and those are the elections. All right, now, the first one that I remember as a kid as being important was when John F. Kennedy ran against Richard Nixon in 1960. As it turned out, Richard Nixon, the night of the election, won the popular vote, but he lost the election because Kennedy won the Electoral College by a total of 303-219. Now, what happened was this. Kennedy won the biggest state at the time, which was New York. Nixon won the second biggest state at the time, which was California. And that's because Nixon was from California. Because Kennedy was paired with Lyndon Johnson. Lyndon Johnson brought in Texas, Illinois, Missouri, Georgia, which actually gave President Kennedy the largest plurality of any state in America, and the South, which is now more Republican, was solidly Democrat at the time, and Ohio and Indiana and Michigan and Iowa were voted for Nixon. Now, Nixon had a strategy, which was to go to all of America and win the vote. that's what people had done previous to Kennedy. Kennedy was the first one who came up with the idea of, well, if I win the big state, which at the time, the biggest ones were New York, Illinois. He lost California, but he won like seven of the top states and took the South, ending up beating Richard Nixon by close to 100 in the Electoral College. Now, here's the thing. If you win a state by one vote, you win that state. If you win it by a million, you don't get one more electoral vote than if you win it by one. If you win a state the size of Texas by one vote and lose three or four other states by huge margins and they don't end up with the same electoral number, then you're behind. So the key in America is to win electoral state. Now, let me continue with this. If you understand this, then you understand why the strategy, why everybody is doing the things that they're doing. Now, I have one other caller here. Let me pick this person up, and let's just see where we are. Yes, this is Jack Watts. You're on the air. Hello? Hello. Evidently, they decided that they would hang up. Okay. As we are talking about these things, I want to go now to 1964. That's when Barry Goldwater ran against Lyndon Johnson, and Barry Goldwater was a super patriot, extremely conservative. And he ran against Lyndon Johnson the year after Jack Kennedy was assassinated. So he got creamed. The only state that Goldwater took were South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, and his home state of Arizona. He lost by a huge margin. Now, at the time, people thought, okay, this means that the move to the Democratic side of the aisle was enormous, and it looked like the Republicans would be a minority from then on. But that's not what happened. In 1968, Nixon ran against Hubert Humphrey and pulled out a victory, and part of the reason that he pulled it out is the southern states went for George Wallace. There were 10 million people that voted for George Wallace in 1968. 10 million people. 10 million people voted for segregation in 1968. Not quite a half century ago. That's a substantial number for something like that. All right. Nixon got in. He won two elections, and yet only serves half of his second term because of the whole Watergate debacle. And here we have Jimmy Carter, who comes in with his toothy grin, promising hope and change, and people bought it, and they voted for him. And it was, he won a fairly impressive election. Then he got in, and he had what they call the misery index. The gas prices were high, unemployment was high, America was held hostage by the Ayatollah Khomeini, and Jimmy Carter looked like he was an inept fool, and to enough of the American people that when they voted for him, and again, I mean, excuse me, when they had the election with Ronald Reagan, it was a landslide victory for Ronald Reagan. He received 489 of the electoral votes. There's 535. As it turned out, Carter got 49. He won Minnesota, Georgia, Hawaii, West Virginia, Rhode Island, Maryland, Minnesota, and the District of Columbia. The rest of the nation voted for Ronald Reagan, and he came in with a landslide victory for conservatives. He was a president that said that the whole idea was that, you know, you could not elect a real conservative, and that the Republicans were fools to have done so, because look what happened to them in 1964 when they nominated Barry Goldwater. He was soundly defeated by Lyndon Johnson. But in 1964, Lyndon Johnson didn't look like the great society liberal that he ended up being. He looked like a conservative Southerner. After the assassination of a popular president, and we had not yet had any real trouble with Vietnam, and there were really, we didn't even have trouble with drugs in America much in 1964. That didn't come in until after the troops started coming back from Southeast Asia, and that's where the drug scene got large because of what they experienced, and also the counterculture, which was pretty substantial during that time. And I mean, I promise you that it absolutely was, and I was there. All right. Now, from the time from 1980, we have essentially a pretty substantial Republican surge. Bill Clinton came in, and he won against George Herbert Walker Bush in 1992, because President Bush really, he just didn't put up much of a fight. It wasn't like he really wanted it. Now, we come to 2000. That's where we had the closest election in modern history. Al Gore won the popular vote. He got more votes than George W. Bush. George W. Bush, however, got 278 electoral votes to 260 for Al Gore. If you remember the state of Florida and recounting and recounting and recounting of those ballots, who was going to be the next president? And Al Gore saying to people, well, I've always thought if you got the most votes, you're the president of the United States. And knowing full well that it was an election, 50 different states, winner take all in each state. And George Bush ended up having a few hundred more votes than the state of Florida. And that put him in the year 2000, and he won a slightly more impressive vote in 2004, which brings us to 2008, and Barack Obama had an impressive win. He got 370 electoral votes, and John McCain 164. Now, McCain kept the solid South, but he lost Florida this time. 27 votes that went into Barack Obama's camp. He lost North Carolina. There was 15. He lost Virginia. There was 13. He lost Ohio. Republicans, if they lose Ohio, never win. That was 20. He lost Iowa. He lost. Arizona. It's hard for a Republican to win also if they lose Arizona. Now, that brings us to the 2012 presidential race. Right now, likely electoral votes for the Republican are 191, likely votes for Barack Obama 217, and the toss-up is 130. Now, if you're 217, you're in a whole lot better shape than if you're at 191, because Mitt Romney has to win another 70 votes out of the 130. So you can do the math. Think of it like you're in a basketball series for the NBA title. You're down 3-1, and that's exactly the way it is. Now, the toss-up, and this, folks, is where the election will be decided in these states with these votes. The rest of the country doesn't really count that much. When I talk to my friends, and, you know, I don't really care what they think in the state of Georgia. We have 16 electoral votes, and they are going to go for the Republican, period. Alabama has 9. It's going to go for the Republican, period, as is Mississippi and Louisiana and Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Tennessee, and South Carolina. On the same, if you do it on the West Coast, California has 55 electoral votes, Oregon 7, Washington 12. All of those are going to go to Barack Obama. He's going to get his home state of Illinois, which has 20, and New York with 29, Massachusetts and the rest of New England, with the possible exception of New Hampshire, is going to go for Barack Obama, as probably is New Jersey. All right, that's how come he's got the very highly populated states, in Michigan also, and Minnesota. Swing state, these are the ones where the election will be decided this year. Florida, 29 electoral votes. North Carolina, 15. Virginia, 13. Pennsylvania, 20. Ohio, 18. Wisconsin, 10. Iowa, 6. Colorado, 9. Nevada, 6. The difference between this election and 1960, which was a half a century ago, when Jack Kennedy said, okay, we've got to get 270. That's the goal. Richard Nixon's goal was to have the most votes in America, and he either did or it was very close, but he got blown away in the Electoral College. Both Mitt Romney and Barack Obama know that these states are where the election is going to be won or lost. And that being the case, who wins these, this is where the money's going to be spent. And if you pay attention to the electoral votes for each state, you will know and understand American politics, so that when all of these things come on TV, you don't have to be sitting there saying, oh, what in the world's really going on? I don't know. You can know. You can know that if you're Mitt Romney, you got to win Florida. You got to win North Carolina and Virginia. You got to win Ohio. If he wins those, then all he needs to do is pick up a couple of extra of these states, and he will win. Barack Obama knows that he has to hold on to these states that he has won before: Florida, North Carolina, Virginia, Pennsylvania, Colorado, Iowa, Wisconsin, Nevada. These are, you know, he has to win these things, or at least most of them. Now, will that happen or not? The answer is certainly up in the air. At any rate, this is my little lesson for today, and let me just say this. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Thank you for listening. Good night.